Hi, I'm Paul Camillos, and welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Join me and the STB crew for Series 8. Just hit that subscribe button, and if you enjoy the pod, share it and give it a like.
Although 4-8 has been close, it hasn't been that whole top-to-bottom league as much this season.
Yeah.
Where I think Mackenzie is going to be on that all-star five. If she's not, I don't know what I'll think of that. I'll be pretty shocked. But if, say, her team had the same record,
yeah,
whole different conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it's a three-horse race.
Welcome to Shooting the Breeze, and it's awards season. We've had the Golden Globes, we've had the Grammys, and now it's time for the awards night everybody's been waiting for, the WNBL Awards, being held on Monday the 9th of February here in Sydney. And joining me to talk about the awards, the categories, and everything awards related, it's Em Palmer. Em, how you doing?
Hey, Paul. Yes, the big night, the real night of awards. Very excited for it.
I'm really looking forward to see how the awards are going to play out. And we're going to talk through a few of the major ones and also get to talk about some awards maybe that, you know, we think should be out there. So let's start off. First of all, it's also heading into NBL One season soon.
Mm.
And just wanted to touch base with you and see how things are going on the NBL One front.
I think being an NBL One East, the biggest signing is Unique Thompson has come back to Albury. And
yep.
As someone who's involved in an NBL One team, I'm not quite happy about that because that means we have to play against her. But it's so exciting to have her back in the league. It's actually, especially she's had the successful season. She got the MVP award for the Flames last night. Was that the award she got?
Yes.
Just checking that.
Yep. Yeah. She certainly did.
So exciting to bring her back into that league with even more of a presence than the huge presence she had in the league before. But, yeah, not keen to scout against that and figure out who's going to defend her because I might argue not many people can.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you know, if we look at the way she's played all season, if she's going to be bringing game like that to the NBL One, I think you're going to be hard pressed to really sort of find ways to shut her down. You know,
shoot three pointers, just outscore her.
Well, hey, if you can do it, great.
Our shots will go in that night and that night only.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, let's start off talking about the awards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's not been a lot put out about the awards, but we're assuming that they're going to have the same awards as they've had over the last few years, and we're basing a lot of what we talk about on that. So let's kick things off by talking about Defensive Player of the Year. This is always an interesting one. Now, who do you think's got the inside running on that one?
Defensive Player of the Year is such a hard one because, like, you look to steals or blocks or whatever, but when I think of defense, the first person I think of is Steph Gorman, a lockdown defender, doesn't back her up. So defensive player is a hard one because you need those stats to back you up, whether it's blocks as a big or steals as a guard, but it's hard to say, oh, when Steph Gorman marks the best player on the other team, they shoot at a worse percentage. That's a lot harder to figure out. But I think you've also got to look at it as an eye test more for defensive player. But Steph Gorman's who I initially think of, but, you know, Lauren Cox at the start of the season before she went out, clear front runner. Unfortunately, she's down. But I would say Steph Gorman, but I don't think he'll go that way.
Okay. Obviously, we've sort of been talking to people, and it's a perennial name that keeps coming up all the time, is Annalee Maley. I mean, it's just astounding, you know, rebounding abilities. She's at the top of the rebounding ladder. She's got 1.5 steals a game as well. So she is everywhere, I think you can't take her out of the equation.
No, and not to skip ahead, but she is my MVP. Ooh. I just think, like, little spoiler alert, but she's just incredible. Like, 14.4 points, 14.5 rebounds. Like, that's insane. And then when you watch her, you just think, oh, she's got it again. Like, how does she always have the ball? Like, you look up and she's doing something, whether it's offensively or defensively. And, yep, you know, if she won both awards, I wouldn't bat an eye at it. I'd say well-deserved.
Yeah, look, as you were rightly saying, 14.41 points, 14.45 rebounds. Also, you know, 1.5 steals, 3.18 assists. She's got it happening both ends.
Yeah, and she's also shooting 31% from three, which is, for the amount of work she does inside and outside, she's shooting, I'm pretty sure, the same percentage as Izzy Bualese, who is a guard.
Yeah.
So that's another side-by-side comparison. It's also just personal preference of what style of player you like, but Annalee Maley's just, I think it's an insane season that she's had.
Yeah, and it's something that we sort of say every season, like, what's she going to come up with? But, yeah, I mean, for me, that's kind of where I'm seeing, you know, a real potential for her in the category for Defensive Player of the Year. There are, as you said, there are others out there. Is there anyone else that you would think of as maybe an outside chance on that one?
I'll just throw a name out there, Hanju. I mean, pretty hard to argue with. Like, I've got it up here now, her blocks. She's getting 2 blocks a game. That's pretty impressive. But also, she's that tall, so I don't know whether you take that for granted that she's going to get 2 blocks a game. But I don't know. I think, yeah, defensively, I think you've just got to pass the eye test. I think Annalee passes the eye test. I think Steph Gorman passes the eye test.
Yeah.
Where you just look at them and think that they're making an impact, because pull up the stats for steals or stats for blocks, it's hard because some of those players aren't in the league anymore or they're injured. Like, Breonna Turner still leads the blocks.
Yeah.
And she hasn't played since Hanju came. Or if you look at steals, first is Jai Shelley, which I think she's had an incredible season. But second is Serena Sandell. And third is Gemma Potter. Both of them are injured. And fifth is Breonna Turner. So if Breonna Turner stayed, this is probably her award to lose. But, you know, you get Hanju. So, yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that's maybe thrown a bit of a curveball into this season's awards. The number of people who've gone down with injuries that have taken them out for the rest of the season or for a big chunk of the season that obviously will be kind of affecting, potentially affecting the voting on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, like, Hanju didn't come in until late in the season and yet 2 blocks, nearly 16 points per game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got the height.
Yes.
But the reality is she's still putting in the effort to be able to get those stats. You can't just stand there
I think another factor into the awards is how well is your team doing. Like, this season especially, there is a very clear top three. You've got Bendigo, Townsville and Perth, and then you've kind of got everyone else. So although these are individual awards, you still look at how much success that team is having. Like, Mackenzie Holmes has had the most insane season.
Yep.
Yet we're not talking about her for MVP because, unfortunately for Geelong, they haven't performed great. And I think the same's in the defensive category, where Jess Shelley's averaging 2.6 steals. That's insane. However, again, her team's at the bottom of the leaderboard. So it's hard to justify an individual award when there hasn't been the proof of success yet.
And again, this is where it sort of comes into how the various judges look at it. You know, are the judges sort of focusing more on those teams that are at the top, or are they looking more widely at individual performances regardless of where the teams are? And as you said, you know, there really wasn't a lot between fourth and eighth. And in fact, there were some weeks where you'd see teams literally go up and down two spots on the ladder, depending on their performance and how everybody else performed. So it's been one of those really strange seasons in relation to that. And obviously there's going to be impact on the voting, but because it's been so tight down the bottom, I don't think you can necessarily write off any player from any team from consideration, because it was really, really tight.
Yeah, 100%.
We will get to the MVP a little later on. Let's change gears a little bit and talk about Coach of the Year. Like, I find this one really interesting.
Yeah.
Because typically voting, you know, would be taking into account things like the win-loss record, strategy, the fairness, getting the most out of a roster, which is, you know, a strong part of, a big part of what a coach has to do. So looking at that, who do you think is, let's think about who are maybe the top two runners for Coach of the Year.
I'm glad you said pick two, because I was tossing up between two. So the two I was tossing up with is Ryan Petrick. Yep. And Shannon Seabomb. My reason for Ryan is, like, consistent excellence. Like, you can't take how consistently amazing they are with the style that they play. Like, it's a very risky style that they play with the amount of threes, the amount of fast pace.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of different factors into that. And I think the consistency over time is just very impressive. And then I think another thing is, the transition between Breonna Turner and Hanju was seamless. I think that's quite underrated with how smooth that's been, because they're quite different players. Like, yes, they both get the blocks. Yes, they both get the points, but it's in quite different ways, where Hanju's just a presence. Like, all of the fans come to see her because of how tall she is, how she's cute in her interviews, like, just for her. But then Breonna Turner is a defensive powerhouse, and it was such a switch into it more of an offensive big, where I think he's done that brilliantly.
Mm.
But I would give Shannon the upper hand purely because of the injuries that's been dealt with, and they kind of haven't skipped a beat. But Lauren Cox injured, huge, huge loss for a little bit, and they're still red hot and raring to go. He had bench players step up in Chantel Horvat and Chloe Forsell. Was she the other one? I believe so.
Yeah.
Where he's just brought that out of them. And I think that's just put him over the edge with the adversity he's had to deal with, where Ryan's wasn't really adversity because he got Hanju. So it's a bit different in the situations, but I think Townsville's results, you also can't argue with that.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think if you think about the performances, right, and the adversity that the coaches have had to overcome, definitely Shannon's up there in the running because of what's happened at Townsville. If you're looking at the overall performance across the whole season, yeah, I think Ryan Petrick is definitely up there. Let's look at it this way. He is an excellent X's and O's coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that we've seen over the years since he took over from Andy Stewart is that he's developed beyond just an X's and O's coach. He's actually extracting so much from his team and his players, and he's really gotten them to gel. And I think one of the best examples of that is you've got Breonna Turner, and then you bring in Hanju, which means everything changes. You got completely different chess pieces on the board now, yet he's made it work. And it didn't look like there were too many stumbles along the way. And also, if you think about it, during the pink round, where Hanju didn't take the floor, you really didn't see that the team, you know, suffered in terms of the way they handled their sets and the way they handled the matchups. It just seemed like it was okay. You know, we've got this has come up. We just go out and do our business anyway. I think that's showing that it's not just the X's and O's now. He's built up the kind of skill that Shannon has in terms of extracting the best out of his team and getting the team to gel and work together. I think Ryan's doing that as well. So, yeah, I think he's a really good choice. I know that this is probably one of these ones that this one won't happen. But I think we have to mention Renee Gallop in this because she's come in as head coach partway through the season, having to deal with a team that's had an astounding cycle of injuries going all the way through. The win-loss record is not great, but the one thing I think we can all say is the team has not looked like they've put their heads down all season. They're showing up for every game. I mean, I can say for all the home games, you see them win or lose, doesn't matter. They're there to play. They're not ratcheting down the effort regardless of what the situation is. So that says a lot about the way that Renee's keeping the team focused and working and not getting too dragged down by the adversity that they're facing.
Yeah, I think she just deserves a shout out, like at the awards ceremony. Like you said, she's not going to get it, but she just deserves like a pat on the back or something. Because even in a changeover, yes, she's an assistant coach. Yes, she's been with them for a little bit. But at the end of the day, she hasn't constructed that team.
Yes.
Because it's not her vision. But she's come in, she's executed that vision. And again, the wins, losses don't show it. But I know watching the team, I think they look better. And I was talking to one of the players the other day and she goes, I'm just having fun. Like she's just loving having Renee. She goes, the vibes are high. And you see that. I'm lucky enough, I sit like three rows behind the bench.
Yeah.
And the way that they cheer for each other, Izzy Morgan, although she's recovering, she's still jumping up and down and cheering. And Shanice celebrates after a three. Yeah. Like, I think to keep that together, it's been a seamless transition into something that's quite hard to do, especially with the young group they have. You've got the veterans of Keely and Lauren Nicholson, but Lauren's out injured. Keely has unfortunately had a down season, but they've all stuck together.
Yep.
And I think, like, even seeing them coming off for a sub, they all just look a bit lighter on their feet with her at the helm of it.
Yeah, you're right. There is that energy. And actually, just that you mentioned, say, Izzy Morgan on the bench and also Loz on the bench, they're up. You know, they're helping to try and rev the team up. The players, when they drop three, or let's say there's been a, let's just call it an interesting call by a ref. they're all up there, you know. So
yeah,
you're right. It's like they're not dropping their head. They're really revved up about being there regardless. And I think, you know, it's one of those intangible coaching things.
Mm.
And it's hard, like that one's really hard to kind of score into the effort for an award like this. But I'm agreeing with you. It's like I think it's going to be a toss up between Ryan and Shannon this year. I think I kind of want to say that I think I'm leaning a bit more towards Ryan this season, partially because of the way that, particularly over this season, some of the players have evolved in the way they're performing. One of the key ones, I think, is Ali Wilson. I think she stepped up last season, but this season it's just been yet another level.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's got to be one of those things where the coach has had some input into helping her game develop, and she's taken on board whatever guidance that Ryan's given her, and she's turned it around and executed it. So I think there's that little bit of an edge. And the other thing, and this should never come into consideration, but, you know, Shannon's like five times.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Is that going to actually work against him? You know, because
They talk about this in the WNBA a little bit with the awards, where they kind of get like voters fatigue, where I'll take Asia Wilson, for example. She wins everything.
Yeah.
So voters go, oh, she's won it. Let's give it to someone else. But I think there's also, like, if you're good, you're good. You should be recognized for that. So I don't know. Yeah, Ryan or Shannon, I really think it's between them. Whichever one gets it 100% deserves it. But there's also that you can't take the excellence for granted, because it's not common. But yeah, if he gets a six-time winner, may as well name the award after him. But
Well, yeah. Look, There's a lot to be said for that. I actually think there's nothing between them. I think it's a coin toss between Ryan and Shannon this year.
And I think it's what they want to look at as Shannon's, if you just look at injuries, he's had more adversity.
Yeah.
Is like from the eye test, but Ryan, like Annalie's playing the best she's ever had. Ali's playing the best she's ever had. Amy's still working back from that injury, but you see those flashes of the best shooter in the league.
Yep.
And then like Steph Gorman, like it's just similar outcomes, but two different kind of storylines for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, going back to what I mentioned before, you've also got the fact that he had that change. You've gone from one type of player to bringing in Hanju, which is a completely different style of play. And it's looked seamless, you know. I was actually looking at that, and we may have talked about it on a previous pod where it's like, okay, what? How's that going to work? Well, it worked great.
Yeah, I was in one of our earlier pods. I was like, I don't know, two very different players. I don't think this is going to work. And now I'm voting for him for coach of the year. So. I'm not a hater. I was waiting to see and surpassed everything that I thought it hoping it could be.
For sure. Okay, let's move along to breakout player of the year. Now, look, breakout player, it's an interesting one, you know, because I think lots of different people have lots of different definitions of what a breakout player is. On one hand, that makes it really hard for the judges to be able to try and figure out, well, how do you define breakout? On the other hand, what it does is it's wide enough category to give the judges an opportunity to pick someone for an award that may not necessarily get one if they had really well-defined categories. So it's kind of an interesting one. So who are you thinking about for that one?
I look at breakout player of the year kind of as a most improved as well as breakout player, but I mostly look at it as who am I talking about this year that I wasn't talking about last year.
Okay.
So for me, I think it's by landslide Dallas Loughridge. Like she, I think, has been the best player on that Adelaide Lightning team. I know there's Sanaa Fagan who's been great, Steph Talbot, but I think it's Dallas. She's moved in to that starting point guard role, which is such a hard role to move into. Last season, her averages were 11 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. She's now at 16 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds.
Yeah.
Plus leading that team, I think she's been talked about this season more than ever before. You know her name, which is, I think, another part of this award. But to me, as soon as I saw this category, I'm like, it's Dallas. And I didn't even look at anyone else.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. You know, like when you think about how often you heard her name last season, because there were a lot of guns around her. So she wasn't getting that, probably not getting as many opportunities as she has now in Adelaide. And I'm not taking anything away from Adelaide. Adelaide's got a good roster, but something's just clicked for Dallas in Adelaide, and you're right. Every game, you're hearing her name. I think pretty much every game this season, there's been one of those clutch situations where she's just stepped up and done something just to, you know, to break the logjam in terms of, you know, there hasn't been much of a scoring run for a while, or, you know, some defensive plays to try and break up what the opposition's been doing. She's really, really stepped up. And let's not forget, she's pretty young.
Yeah. And I think I like the Breakout Player Award more than a Most Improved, because Most Improved, you basically solely look at stats, but it doesn't really take into account, like, oh, they're now playing 40 minutes this season as opposed to 10. Like, of course, you're going to have more stats in that. But Breakout is she has moved into a bigger role from, yeah, she was that backup option at Southside, but you saw how good she was. Like when Maddie had a couple of down games, I remember watching them being like, just get Dallas on the court. Like, she can do it. And this season, she's just continually proven that she is that player and she's going to do that.
Yeah. It's like I suppose, for want of a better term, this door has opened up and bang, she's just come through it and stepped up and everybody's paying attention. Like you said, you're hearing her name a lot more than you were last season, and those performances, they're there. And yeah, but I also, one of the things I want to touch on about the breakout player is, let's assume for a minute that some of the players who went out injured weren't. Would that change your mind? Because, like, for me, I've got somebody else in mind that I think could have been in contention, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that.
I think we're thinking the same person.
Maybe.
I don't think the conversation would change. I'd still say it's Dallas by a landslide, but I think it would make me think about two different names. Izzy Morgan.
Yeah.
Is who I was thinking of, yeah, where you've never heard of her before. Like, in Dallas's situation, she's kind of been around. She's now jumped to a new role. Izzy Morgan was kind of, where has she come from? This girl's great. And that was part of that Renee coaching change, I think, as well, where she was getting a couple more minutes with Guy here and there, but then that comfortability that she had with Renee because she has her NBL1, I'd still say it's Dallas by a landslide, but it would have made me think of the second name.
Yeah, I think, you know, there would have been other names that would have come into contention. I'm not saying that by any means that it would change the outcome. I'm not saying that. But you think about, I mean, Izzy Morgan's an interesting one because literally she's a DP.
Yeah.
Right. And yes, there were situations with injuries which meant that she was getting more time. But you can see that whole US college experience, you could see it out there on the floor. And she was impactful. When she'd go out there, things would happen. It's going to be one of those great questions. What would the rest of the season have been like if she hadn't injured her foot?
I feel like it means that she can just win it next year because she's not up against
Dallas. Yeah, look, it's always possible. And I suppose that's one of the good things about the breakout is there's always a lot of what ifs involved in the discussion. But yeah, I think there's no real question here. Dallas is pretty much, I would say, a lock for this. Though I got to say, and if the WNBL is listening, maybe a DP of the year.
Yeah.
Because there's as an award, and the DPs don't get a lot of time. Let's be honest.
No.
You know, if there's a big break, they'll get a few minutes at the end of the game or at the end of a half where there's a big break and you can afford to kind of sub someone on just to give them a little bit of experience. And so you don't get to see a whole lot of them, but they try hard. So you kind of wonder, maybe, you know, something to reward the DPs who actually do put that effort in.
Well, one I'd like to shout out is Georgia Woolley, who's playing for Geelong.
Yep.
I think she's great. Like, we were watching her the other day and my dad just goes, who's that one? She's good. And you don't know because she doesn't even have a name on the back of her jersey yet.
Yeah.
But she's another one who she's come in toward Geelong with all of their injuries and ins and out this year. But she's been great. She's been quite consistent for them. And I think that's really hard as a DP because some games you don't even suit up. I know, like with the Flames, they kind of rotate them, but DP is a hard position to do. And when you get rewarded with those minutes, just give them all a high five. Good job.
Okay, let's roll into the big one, MVP.
Kind of said it earlier, but mine's Annalie Maley. When you think MVP, you think points, which, yes, Izzy Borlase has those points. She's got 23 points a game. But I think it's what she does on both ends of the court. If I'm watching it, she's the most complete player this year. She can do it on both ends. She can do whatever you ask. Like, she's in the talk for Defensive Player of the Year, but also just that, you just watch her. She's just got like, oomph. And like, she's going to get a score when her team needs a score. Like, that whole team can shoot threes. Yet a couple of games this season, it's been Annalie that gets that big three, which when she won that first MVP award, you wouldn't say that Annalie's getting the big three-pointer. She's getting the big drive or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But for me, I just think just watching her bit of personal bias, I do love Perth as a team, as you notice with nearly every name I've thrown out yep. today. But I just watching her, I just think you are the best because of what she does at both ends of the court, not just one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to land on the more popular outcome on this one, Izzy Borlase, but for a couple of reasons. She's really taken her game to a whole nother level. She's only 21, and she's not playing like a 21-year-old. She's playing like somebody who's a lot more mature and has a whole lot more experience, which is something else that I think contributes to being a valuable player. It's not just the numbers, but it's also that maturity, the leadership, that stability on the court that someone like that brings to the team. She also had a game where, look, let's be honest, she dropped 42, which is, you know, I think it's happened, I think it was the 11th time in WNBL history that somebody's dropped that sort of number. And the other thing is, and we heard about this when we had her on the pod, was that she gets a lot of mentorship and a lot of feedback and input from people like KG23 and Tolo, which, you know, yes, people are always asking for advice, but, and I'm not putting down 21-year-olds, but there's an awful lot of 21-year-olds who kind of like aren't necessarily open to hearing the whole breadth of advice that can come from veterans. Whereas I think that Izzy's got that level-headedness where it's like there's so much to learn from these veterans, these people with so much experience, that I think there's something a little bit that maturity is beyond a 21-year-old that she has. And I think it's that sort of thing that will help her to kind of get over the line. So yeah, it's for me, it's not just the stats. It's also about all these other factors that come into it.
Yeah. As a 21-year-old, I completely agree. But just like watching her offensively, she's insane. Like I watch her as the same age as her and I think, what am I doing with my life? Boy, she's out doing all that. Like I think like you can't go past a 40-point game. You just watch her and it's quite unbelievable what she's doing at this young. For me, that next step for her is that defensive side, which is what I was saying with Annalie, but it's a spectacular season. If she got it, I wouldn't be shocked at all. She's the favourite to win. She probably will win it, but yeah, for me, those two at the top.
Yeah, I mean, Mackenzie Holmes, for example, there's another player who could be in contention. You know, she scores, she rebounds, she's tough.
Isn't it? So good.
Yeah. But I think it's a close one. Look, there's a few other outliers, I think, who could be in frame. Maybe Maddie Rocci. Kayla George has been having a fairly solid season for Southside as well.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, you look at a 42-point game and, you know, there's a lot of people who are kind of going, yeah, that's something special.
Yeah, I think the thing with Mackenzie is because she has had multiple games over 25 points.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for her, her team's not good. And at the end of the day, MVP is traditionally the best player on one of the best teams.
Yep.
And for Annalie and Izzy, they're on two of the three best teams in the whole league. And unfortunately, because this season hasn't been as close, like although 4-8 has been close, it hasn't been that whole top to bottom league as much this season.
Yeah.
Where I think Mackenzie is going to be on that all-star five. If she's not, I think, I don't know what I'll think of that. I'll be pretty shocked. But if, say, her team had the same record.
Yeah.
Whole different conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it's a three-horse race.
Yep.
But unfortunately, Geelong just isn't the team that Perth and Bendigo are.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, quickly before we kind of wrap things, you've come up with a couple of your own categories. Let's throw them out there and let's hear what you want to put out there.
I've come up with three categories.
Okay.
Two of them are kind of more serious and I'll leave my fun one for last.
Sure.
So my first category I have is best role player.
Okay.
So someone who doesn't get all the limelight, but is out there doing just as much. And my best role player is Abby Wirong. I think she is just awesome.
Yep.
Her biggest stat to me is she's 42% from the three-point line. That's insane. That is such a good three-point percentage.
Yeah.
But she's just out there doing the work almost so Izzy Borlase can have those 40-point games. She can go defend the best guard so Izzy doesn't have to. She can be that player who boxes out and gets those rebounds, or boxes out that guard enough so Tolo or Kelsey can get those rebounds. I just think she's such a glue player.
Yep.
And I just think, unfortunately for her, she's not coming off the bench, so she can't get sixth man.
Yep.
But I think she's just, the role players sometimes go unnoticed because they're not having those flashy games. But I think Abby's just consistently solid.
Fair call. Okay. And your second category?
My next category is my most underrated player.
Ooh,
so someone who I just think has been, I just don't think this player's been talked about much. My player is Jazz Shelley.
Okay.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
I think for what she's doing hasn't been talked enough about this season. Yes, you talk about her half courts, you talk about her buzzer beaters, but she's captain of that team. And she has kept that team together while making all of those scores and everything. And that other day, she had 0 points, but still nearly got a triple-double.
Yeah.
Like, she was great. It's not just her points. It's the leadership she's provided this season. And I think, I hope she's a future Opal. I think she's totally on that trajectory. But for me, I don't think she's been talked about enough this season. Part of that is due to Geelong not being that great. But I think she is awesome and definitely the person to keep an eye on.
Okay. Because I've got to also say, particularly over the last three or four games at the back end of the season, she's really stepped up. And like you said, she's been doing a lot of different stuff all over the court. And she's happy to assist. She's happy to facilitate. If somebody else has got the hot hand, let them go. And you're right. She probably has been underrated for those performances. And, yeah, the position that Geelong has on the ladder has probably got something to do with that too.
Yeah, I think it was in an interview after that game. I think the stat line was something like 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 steals. It was something like that. And they talked to her it was either halftime or at the end of the game. And they asked her about her shots not falling. Like, how do you respond to that? And she goes, well, I just have to do everything else. And to me, that's such a mature response because sometimes shooting's just not your night. And especially when you shoot the shots that Jazz does, they either go in or they don't. But she just went in. You are in charge of your defense. You are in charge of how much work you put in.
Yep.
And she just flipped the switch and delivered everything else that you can do in a game of basketball.
Okay. And your third one.
This is my fourth one.
Yeah.
It's the Best Vibes Award.
The Best Vibes
Award. I'm giving that the Best Vibes. Yeah. And I'm giving this to Tolo. I just think, like, since announcing her pregnancy, she just said, well, I'll just be the team manager and travel with the team. Like, I think that's so awesome that she's looked at this group, she's seen something special. And who wouldn't want to be around Tolo? Like, I originally had it as the best mum. However, she's not officially a mum yet, so I didn't think I could give that award. But she's totally the mum of that Bendigo team.
Oh, sure.
And I just think, yeah, she's getting all this practice for her kid with Izzy Borlase, so she'll be ready to go. I just think it's awesome. Like, she wants to be with the team, and you know she's the one leading all of that cheering on the bench. So Best Vibes is going to Tolo.
Best Vibes. Okay. I'm just going to call out just two special moments from across the season. I think the first one was Hanju coming to the league.
Yeah.
That was a huge announcement. People come to see her. People come to get an opportunity to talk to her, you know, where there's opportunities. what she's brought to the league, you know, has just been amazing. And I think it says a lot about her that she's come in, she's brought, you know, so many more fans to the game. So I think that that's one of the special moments. And I think for us, or for me, the second special moment was this fourth Pink Hoops round that was held at Qdos Bank Arena just a few weeks ago. It was the first one where, you know, unfortunately T wasn't here, but, you know, you can see the support is growing. You know, there was, I think it was, it's one of the largest crowds that they've had for the NBL. The place was pink. You know, that was a really special moment. And also adding to that was the fact that, you know, Vanessa Panousis, T's best friend, was there, you know, who's been a great supporter and friend of the pod and been on the pod a few times. Also, you know, Tiana's mum and dad, Cynthia and Teray, coming in, joining us. And I think sometimes it's those special moments like the pink round, which kind of helps to bring the community together, the whole basketball community together. It's a real special moment. And I think that's something that, you know, there is no award for it, but, you know, maybe there should be one of those awards for a special event, something like that, you know. Okay, so we've kind of covered an awful lot today. And as always, it's great talking to you and getting your insights into some of these things. Can't wait to see how close we are to the mark. And it's, you know, as we're recording this, it's only a few days before the awards, which are being held in Sydney for the first time.
So exciting. I'll wait outside the door for everyone.
Well, yeah, look, anybody who's listening, if you want to get those purple carpet photos as people are arriving to the event, getting those signatures, it's the time to do it.
You can wait outside with me. We can have a group picnic. We can all just chat about it.
That's it. The WNBL's got groupies.
Yeah. I'm going to start the movement.
Okay. Em, as always, it's been great having you on the show. It's been great talking to you about these things and about the awards and your awards as well. So we'll wait and see how it all pans out. And thanks for being on the show.
Awesome. Loved it. Thank you, Paul.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.